Welcome to Yours, Mine, and Ours. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. I've been a coach and MBTI practitioner for 15 years, and I started out teaching people how to have success, reaching their goals in their personal and professional life. But all of my clients inevitably came to me at some point or another in the coaching process, asking me for help with a challenge they were having in one of their relationships. Sometimes a personal relationship, sometimes a professional one, sometimes a casual one, sometimes an intimate one. But it soon became clear that that was what I needed to teach people. Conflict resolution. Conflict resolution is a life skill and personal fulfillment that comes from personal connection, healthy relationships. But relationships are not just about two people, the two people that it's comprised of. They're about three separate elements. The two individuals separate from each other, and the entity that they create when they come together. Two people need to be healthy apart from each other in order to be successful when they come together as one. If you need someone to complete you, you're not ready for a relationship because you need to be healthy alone first. But what is healthy individually? Well, it's about being centered and focused, confident and strong, and very flexible. There are just certain life skills that are vital to master as an individual before you can even consider bringing someone else into your world and into your life. Relationships are not a right. They're a privilege and a responsibility. So a great question to ask yourself, are you relationship material? This show is about becoming healthy and happy as a person and facilitating the health and happiness of others. That's the foundation of a healthy society made of healthy relationships. Last week, we were talking about accepting what others offer you as a gift, as a personal gift to them. Sometimes just taking things from people is an act of generosity in itself because it provides the more joy in giving experience for the giver. That's much more meaningful than anything we could ever give to them as our own personal gift. But last week I had a caller ask me a question about abusive people. When they give something with an ulterior motive of ultimately getting something back from you, especially when it was inappropriate or abusive, the thing that they were trying to get back, well, I realized after the show that I didn't say something in my answer to her that I probably should have said. I guess I just assumed that most people knew that it was a given, and it never occurred to me that some people might actually have needed to hear it. Here's the bottom line. Any quid pro quo in any way is not truly a gift. It does not qualify as a gift if someone is giving you something with a conditional expectation of something in return. But in the world we live in, the mentality has become, what's in it for me? And by extension, people wonder almost immediately when someone offers them something, well, what do they want for this? What's their true motive? What do I have to do? Okay, so the show this week is going to be about becoming a high-quality individual that doesn't need more and more and more from everyone and everything in life in order to feel satisfied and fulfilled, and the value of relaxation in daily life in order to become a high-quality individual that doesn't need or expect things from others in order to feel good will mean that you don't need high quantities of things in order to be satisfied. One of the most important ways, one of the most vital ways to become a high-quality individual is by taking care of yourself personally in a high-quality way. We're going to be opening up the lines to callers today. If you have any questions or comments about our topic today, go ahead and give us a call. The number here is 888-627-6008. Now, Doug, you're going to let me know when callers start coming to us when they have a question or a comment. But until that happens, we're going to talk about something really important, taking care of yourself, becoming higher quality for others. Now, relaxing for them. That might seem like kind of a paradox almost, taking care of yourself as a gift to others. But I like to use the example of putting the mask on yourself first. We've all heard that example when they're on the airplane and they show you that if you're traveling with a small child and this is an emergency situation and you need an oxygen supply, always put the mask on yourself first. Why? Well, because if you're not alive, you can't really provide a whole lot of help to anybody else. Can you do things while you're gasping for air? Yes, you're just not going to perform as well when you're struggling to survive, but also when you're distracted by that emergency situation. When I was raising my kids, I always told them, I understand you guys want something right now. They might even actually have needed something, but I always said to them, let me be with your dad first. Let daddy take care of me first, because trust me, when we come back to you, we're both going to be much better parents. We're going to be happier people. What we give you is going to be a better experience. They learned very early on that letting me be with daddy first was always going to pay off in a wonderful way. Not only were both of us going to be in a better mood with each other, but we were going to be happier with them. And think about the people in your life. If you were with them and you actually said, give me 10 minutes, I just really got to take care of myself in this one way. When I come back, I promise I'm going to be an exponentially better person for you. How many people in your life would be comfortable? They would be fine saying to you, that's okay, go right ahead. Let me know when you're done because you are worth it. And so am I. Now, quality over quantity. When you are giving people something, if it really is a good quality, they don't need a whole lot of it. They would rather have just a little bit of something platinum than a whole lot of something plastic. So, taking care of yourself. Truly taking care of yourself means making the time that you have requested, that you have set aside, count. Really making sure that the time that you have said, I'm going to take this, I'm going to use this to make myself a better person. That's the key. Do you know how to take care of yourself? I always use the example of being centered. When I was a little girl, I was in ballet, took me through puberty, even into young womanhood. Being able to dance on my toes was only because I was able to keep my weight centered. I could move in a lot of different ways, I could do a lot of different things, but if at any point I lost my balance by not being centered personally inside myself, I would immediately fall over. I would hurt myself. I would look really bad when I was doing it. I had to stop what I was doing. Get my center back. That required focus. It required discipline. It was a very challenging situation, but when I did it, I could return to what I was doing, whatever that dance was, whatever that position was, whatever it was that I was trying to do. It was always much better when I took care of myself and got recentered first. Well, what about taking care of others? When we are in a better state, facilitating their relaxation, being relaxing for them, if we are centered in ourselves and truly at peace, we'll have the ability to know what they need, discern what they need, because we are able to truly pay attention to them in a focused and high quality way. Then, when we are aware of what they need, giving it to them will be much easier for us because if we are relaxed and happy and centered, we are willing to make a sacrifice, whatever sacrifice we need to make, whatever gift we need to give them. It's not going to be taking away from ourselves. Giving to someone else doesn't mean you have to take away from yourself because What you are doing is high quality, and you do your best, you give it in a very good way, and you're feeling good while you're doing it means that what they have from you is priceless. Some of the issues in the world today that have created problems in the health of society, in the peace, taking care of ourselves. Well, one that's my personal pet peeve. You know what? I'm just going to say it. The pharmaceutical industry. How often do we look at the commercials on television and the side effects, the list of side effects that are mandatory now just to avoid the lawsuit? How often are the side effects not only longer to list than the actual benefits, but some of them are even worse than the original problem? The drugs people take are often not necessary. They're just a crutch because taking care of the actual problem is a lot of work and it demands taking good care of ourselves. How many people really just need that time and that space to take care of themselves, to get centered, to get healthy? They actually don't need artificial pharmaceuticals, chemicals to hide from their problems. We really have the ability to relax in ourselves. Our body can heal itself and restore that balance in order to relax. But it feels like hard work, doesn't it? Well, why is that? Because one of the other things, actually, my daughter's pet peeve is technology. We're constantly being overstimulated. She even says to me when we're in a restaurant with each other, "Mom, put your cell phone away. I want your eyes on me." I just love my baby girl. She's so great. Because it's true. How much do we have literally within arm's reach or within our peripheral vision, right? Our computers, telephones, televisions, even radios. The Starbucks that's right by my home, it's really loud music. I've actually had to go to them and say, "Can you turn the volume down? I just want to have a conversation with this lady that works across the street that I haven't seen in 2 weeks. Just for 5 minutes, can you turn the music down?" What would happen if you didn't have all that stimulation? You literally went for 24 hours without your cellular phone, without your computer, without the television, without any kind of radio. Go without it for 24 hours. How quickly do you become anxious? How anxious do you become? How worried do you become? How much does that affect us when we do finally try to relax, do something like sleep? Well, this is kind of a conundrum, right? You need to be tired in order to sleep well, but are you really tired if everything that you do in life is being done by a machine? How many of the things that we used to have to do personally, physically, with our own bodies and our own minds, now are being done by other things, created things, technical things that now overstimulate us to keep us awake? You really do have to have good quality sleep in order to have the strength and energy when you are awake in order to perform the tasks that really are what our human existence is about. There are four different levels of sleep that serve four very different purposes, and the cycle needs to be consistent and balanced and healthy. When you have a good quantity of high quality sleep, your performance in everything in life improves, including your mood while you're doing those things. How much of your hormonal balance is about you being well rested? How many people want to take a pill just to get good quality rest? Well, with that pill come the side effects that might actually cause other problems as an extension of the. Okay, let's just say, even for your example, your attitude, when you're well rested, and you're in a good mood, you have an elevator and you have the stairs. Taking the stairs is actually a fun idea. It's not overwhelming. It doesn't look like an impossible task. When your performance improves, you get more tired throughout the day because you're actually doing more activities, your sleep improves. So thinking about all of these different things, when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about what's truly relaxing for us and the different ways we all as humans need to relearn how to relax, physically, mentally, and emotionally relax. We're going to be opening up the lines to callers. If you have any questions about the things we're going to cover, go ahead and give us a call. The number here at BBS is 888-627-6008. We'll be right back with Yours, Mine, and Ours.
BBS Radio.
And we're back. You're listening to Yours, Mine, and Ours. And today we're talking about working hard to relax. It looks like we have a couple callers. Doug, who do we have on line two?
We have Gerard on line two.
Okay, Gerard. Hi, how are you today?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm great. The Washington weather, it's looking pretty good. We got sun today. It's putting me in a good mood. Well, thank you for calling
in. Well, I'm in Southern California.
Well, okay. So that's nothing exciting for you. But, yeah, it's putting me good here.
Thanks for having me. Thank you.
You're welcome. So what's on your mind today?
Well, I am having issues with settling down once my day is done. The mind continues, and that's a problem.
Okay. So now what I explain to people sometimes is, like what I was talking about in the previous segment, was sometimes it's the lifestyle that we have. Sometimes it could just be things like your personality. And I don't know if you have listened to my previous shows. I kind of broached the subject about some people – like, for example, extroverts, if they're socially interactive, it can take them a while just to settle down. If you're sensory, then that means that being stimulated in a visual way can be what really is stopping you from that natural biological process of winding down. And sometimes it could be what's going on inside of you. Now, what do you think, Gerard, just based on your lifestyle, what do you think is the most stimulating part of your day for you?
Actually, I really love my job. I'm in environmental health and safety, and I get the opportunity to really help a bunch of folks.
Okay. Well, that's good. I'm glad you love your job. So when it comes to relaxation, what is the biggest challenge for you?
You know what? After, and I don't know if anyone else that's listening can agree with me, but after the age of 40, start understanding that you have more time behind you than ahead of you, and there are things that you actually want to accomplish.
Got it. Okay. So you know what? We're going to be talking about relaxing emotionally. Now, there are three different really powerful emotions that humans feel in a very different way than animals. A lot of people think they're a parallel, but they're very not. Humans are not about survival. They're actually about success and happiness. And so that is a more profound experience. There's anxiety, there's fear, and there's anger. Those three emotions are the ones that really affect us. What you're describing is about anxiety. Now, that's the warning that our body is giving us that something is in the process of happening. And you know what? We need to go ahead and stop it because this is a situation that really needs to not happen. It's sort of our red flag inside of us, you see. So when you're thinking about, you know, I don't have a whole lot of time behind me or ahead of me, most of what's gone on has been behind me, you can take a look and see what specifically is it that you want to have in your life. Maybe taking an inventory of the things that you have done, knowing that all of those individual pieces of experiences can be what you put together to create a foundation for everything that you do in the future. That means that you have a lot of quantity. The key is turning that quantity of experiences and time in your past, turning it into quality foundation for what you are going to do from here on into your future. Do you know that there's something in particular that you really do want to do in your life? Specifically?
Well, besides my bucket list, yes. I am trying to be a successful entrepreneur, and that takes a lot of time. So when I get home from work, it just does not stop. That's my second job. And I'm working for it to be my first job.
Got it. Okay. So then that is really just about the quantity. What you're talking about, depending on what that business is just having the amount of time to invest. Now, the question that I have about that is, when you're thinking about what you want to do, the second job will ultimately be your primary job. Are you wanting to quit the job that you have right now in order to do this other one full time? Or is it something that you just want to do supplementing your primary income as more of an enjoyable kind of supplemental activity?
That is a great question. And for me, it's about mostly about the journey. So even if it's not successful, I want to look back and say, wow, you tried it. So to answer your question, I don't want it to replace my current job, because I do love it, and I am getting more and more educated the more I remain in environmental health and safety. However, I think that a lot of people, their ultimate goal would actually love it if they did not always work for someone else the rest of their life, almost building their own legacy.
There you go. There you go. And see, what I heard you say, the great thing about what you said is you don't necessarily want it to eliminate what you're doing right now. It's something as an experience. That's a great thing to keep in the front of your mind as you're doing these things. Sometimes just having the great experience saying, doing this other activity has made me a more rounded person. It's provided the tools and resources for me to become a better quality person in the relationships that I have. And so keeping that big picture kind of focus, it's going to enhance the way you approach it. And so that will increase the quality of your soul. So then in your performance, you won't need the high quantity in order to compensate for the lack of quality. When you do your second job, even if it's just a couple hours, maybe a week, instead of 2 or 3 hours a day, that's 10 to 15 hours a week, bringing it down to 5 hours a week, you would know that while you're doing that job, your performance is going to be exponentially better, because your mindset and your energy and your biochemistry and your perspective are all going to be proactive and healthy and happy.
Well, I do love what you're saying, but one part that I did not mention is I do have a family as well, and they require time. And one of the biggest things is, I would love it if you could spell out for me, how do I actually turn the brain off and make appropriate time for them as well?
Aha. Okay. Well, then you know what I would say? And I love that you asked me that, because I happen to have always said to my husband and children, I'm a wife first and then a mother and then a coach. I understand that your family actually is your primary focus in life, because they are the most important people. And what you can do with them when you said turning off, I'm sorry, maybe I didn't understand, turning off your brain or turning off their brain when you come together, because it's always going to kind of be in the back of both of your minds if they know that your mind is somewhere else.
Well, they're listening, so I won't say turn off their brain, but turn off my brain so I can stop thinking about what I need to do, what I need to accomplish in order to get closer to my goals as an entrepreneur.
Okay. You're very smart. Okay, what that would do, what that really would be about, is knowing that the time that you are with them, spend time getting to know them as people. What I would say as a personal project, profile all of their individual personalities and know that what works like magic for one person is going to be something not so good for someone else. And saying to them that you are learning what really is important to them, they would be so grateful to you that if you could compartmentalize, like you said, put it in a box and put it under the bed, the thoughts that you're having, the feelings that you're having, knowing that what you are giving to them as individual interactive time and attention is entirely revolving around them as individuals, because what you're proactively doing for them as individuals is getting to know them and giving to them exactly what they need in the way that they need it, in the time that they need it. Because as a flexible business owner, like you said, the second job that you have, you can make time pretty much whenever you want. If they can say to you, I'm only going to have a certain amount of time, but I know that when I come to you and I say, this is what I need, you are going to be very accepting of what that specific distinct thing is, and you're going to be very willing to give that to them in a very high quality way. They are going to be so willing to say, you know what? I really appreciate what you did for me, and what you gave me was so high quality, it's going to carry me for a long time. Maybe longer than you might have realized, until you have more time again to come back to me.
Well, honestly, and I can't believe you just said that, because that just hit the home run right there. That's something that I don't think about, which is actually getting to know them. That gets lost in translation. But as you're saying it, I can see that become very real for me, and I can see the appreciation that they actually would have if I actually start doing that consistently.
Exactly.
And when I need to disconnect from that to continue my work. So thank you for that.
There you go. You're welcome, Gerard. Thank you so much for calling in. And good luck to you. And say hi to your family for me.
Thank you. I appreciate you. Good night.
Good night. All right, so that was actually something that I'm sure a lot of our listeners have dealt with and have come up against in their lives too. So I'm glad Gerard asked me that question. Doug, do we have another caller on line three?
We do. We have Donna on line three.
Okay. Hi, Donna. How's it going today for you?
Hi, it's going really well.
Good. I'm glad.
Did cloudy. You have a... It's cloudy and cold in Anchorage, Alaska.
And I've heard it can get kind of nippy up there. How cold is cold?
Well, it's not really cold. It's like 30-some degrees, so it's kind of warm for this time of year for us.
Okay. And see, being in the greater Seattle area, that is cold. I think people here would define that as cold, but you know what? It's all relative, so there you go. What's on your mind today?
Well, I really like this topic, you know, like filling up your cup so you can be present for others. And I am, I have 5 grandkids and 2 grown adult children who are very active. We're very, you know, active in each other's lives. And
nice.
One of the things that, you know, I'm trying to do is do things for me.
Yeah.
So I can recharge. This is a really, really, actually a really good topic for me. But one of the things that I find very difficult is actually allowing myself that time for me, you know, especially the relaxing part. Like if I'm exercising or doing something, I can do that, you know, because I'm doing something, you know, that's going to pay off and I know I'm going to get the results. But like just to actually, we were talking about relaxing. Like I sit there and shit on myself the whole time I'm trying to, you know, I schedule this time for me just to relax. And then I'm sitting there going, man, I should be doing this. I should be doing that.
Right.
You know, so I'm not really relaxing.
Exactly. Okay, so now when we're talking about the biochemistry of relaxation, there are hormones that our brain actually releases into our bodies. And sometimes with some of my clients, I've actually had to put it in the language of their personality. You know, the ones that have the most challenge are the sensory judgers, the SJs, but then intuitive feelers have a challenge with that as well, because where sensory judgers are, their primary motivation is, it's my responsibility. I have to, for moral reasons, do this. Whereas intuitive feelers are more about, I need to be giving to people. Would you say that your motivation, really your preoccupation, is more about being directly involved in a personal way with people, or just your primary responsibilities in the world, in life, to the universe, in a technical way with the... What would you say is primarily more of a pull inside of you, the people or just the responsibility?
Ma'am, both of them really resonate with me, both of those. But I think I'm pulled more with people.
I think you're right. Just by the way you're talking about your family, I'm glad you could discern that, okay? So one of the things, especially as women, we're wired a certain way. We really are able to multitask. We actually have. Science has shown that where men have more synapses in one part of the brain at a time, and then they go to another part of the brain, we actually cross over from the right to the left hemisphere more actively and more frequently. So we are more predisposed to multitasking. But what's important, especially for women in our families, is that we need to realize the little difference between, I'll give you an example. If you're in the kitchen and you're cooking the vegetables and your grandchild, one of your grandchildren, comes up to you and says, hey, grandma or nana, whatever they call you, look at what I did. There, if there's a part of you that's going full force inside, you could look at that picture and go, yeah, that's really great. And your mind is still going on the vegetables and it's still thinking about what you're going to be doing tomorrow. For you to be in a different quality state, you would actually put that down and you would have a great big grin on your face because you're very calm. And you would give that child a hug, and then they would be so excited that you had that physical contact with them. They would run away and not need you for another 2 hours because they would be so high on that thing you gave them, knowing that while you're alone, focus your mind on getting yourself chemically, your brain actually, releasing chemicals into your body that are going to change the quality of the way you interact with people. Literally, as you are relaxing, stay focused on the ultimate goal of how your hormonal rebalance, when you do certain breathing activities or when you do certain mind activities, that you are going to have a different energy. You're going to have a different quality mindset. You're going to have a different attitude. Your face is going to look different. If you knew that getting yourself with different thought patterns and different breathing activities that you could look into based on your personality, what works best for you, that taking that time is going to make the interaction that you have with the people that want to interact with you that much more of a quality state. Would that be something that would motivate you to work harder when you are relaxing to get into that mode?
Right. Yes. Yes. How I it would be a difference in how I show up to my family.
Exactly. Yes. And do you believe that when you are in a truly platinum state, that your energy, the quality of the energy that you interchange with them, is better?
Definitely, because of the example that you gave, you know, like, there's, of course, there's been times where I just, like, you know, stopped and went, oh, yeah, that's really, really great. And then there's other times that I have stopped, squatted down, looked in their eyes, and really just, you know, gave them that moment. And it was different. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I felt different. I know that my grandchildren felt different. Yes. So I totally can get, I get that. Yeah.
Okay, so when you think about your true nature, if there are obviously, when it comes to closing your eyes, like lying down on the ground and just doing some breathing to get your heart rate into a certain state, or to get your mindset with certain positive thoughts, and then just literally playing those thoughts in your mind as a movie and enjoying that. Or sometimes what works for me really well is listening to music. When my husband and kids know that I've gone into the room, and I've turned on my music, no one is to touch the door because, you know what, it's really, really important for me to restore and recharge. And when I come out, I'm going to be a totally different woman. If you know the things that make you really a higher quality, you can say to yourself, yeah, I need to do this as a gift to them.
Oh, and you know what? That is more, I mean, like, that makes me feel more motivated as a gift for them than a gift for me.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's really important.
Right. And I've always been taught, you know, well, you need to do it for yourself. You need to do it for yourself. And I'm always like, hey, wait. No. You know, like, there's always been a little bit of conflict there for me because I feel like it's okay to want to do it for them.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Yeah. It really is. And you know what? One of my favorite TV shows it said, sorry, I'm thinking in Spanish now, I'm getting excited, it said, if I had known how fun grandchildren were going to be, I would have had them first. A t-shirt is like, you know what, that's true, because they are fun. They're all of the perks and benefits without the work. That's what the parents are supposed to do. Grandparents are just supposed to have a whole lot of fun. But you know what, grandparents are some of the most generous people in the world, and it absolutely is okay to center your life around the people that mean everything to you. Your grandchildren do deserve to have the best of you as their gift.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yes. Well, thank you.
I heard was that to get into the state of allowing myself without shitting on myself,
right,
is to just think about really, really good things that make me happy.
Yes.
And it's okay for me to say that I'm doing this for somebody else. I don't have to say, you know, so that I can show up better in my family and in my world, in my space. I can show up better.
Yeah, and let me ask you this. That when you actually laugh, when you have a genuine laugh out loud from joy, true joy and peace, how much more attracted to you are the people in your life?
Oh, most definitely.
See?
Yeah, it all is serious. Yeah, because I have one of those really, really, it's pretty big laughs.
Do you? Me too.
Yeah, when I'm laughing, I get teased about it a lot, you know, when I'm really laughing.
Yes. And when we're at Starbucks and my husband is like, honey, you gotta, I'm like, I can't. When you giggle and it's really a belly laugh, it's kind of cool. It feels great. And it's so good for your health. And it is contagious. I've had people on the other side of the store laughing at my laughter. And you know what? There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. You're making the world a better place when you have
that
quality spirit.
That's awesome.
Great. Thank you so much for calling, Donna. It was wonderful talking to you.
Thank you so much. You have a great day.
Thanks, you too.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so Deb, we're going to go ahead and take another break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the things that our callers mentioned. And that's the different levels of relaxation, emotionally, mentally, as well as physically. So we're going to go ahead and take a quick break. And we come back. This is yours. Mine. Welcome back to Yours, Mine, and Ours. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona, and today we're talking about relaxing, working to relax. Sometimes it's really tough. It can be hard to get ourselves into a peaceful state. Now, there's different parts of our life, our existence. We have a physical body. We have an emotional state. We have a mental condition. So right now, let's just start with relaxing physically. Well, that's easy, right? No, actually it's not. Maybe it should be, but it's not. What is relaxing physically about? Well, there are three different things that I talk to people about, not only my clients, but also my friends and family, because I'm 44, but I still look like I'm 23. When my 21-year-old son kisses me in public, they ask us how long we've been dating. No, actually, this is my son. And they don't believe it because I don't look or act 44, well, when I tell them my secret, what's your secret? What chemicals do you take? What natural ingredients do you? I'll tell you what I do. I exercise, and that makes me crave healthy food. When I eat healthy food, I sleep better. You really do need to be physically active. That means walking to the store that's less than a mile away and back. And when you're at the store, getting a piece of fruit, that doesn't mean you have to completely eliminate everything that you enjoy. Actually, I'm kind of a sugarholic. My husband makes fun of me because I cannot go throughout the day without eating something with refined sugar. Yeah, it has saturated fat too, but I'm mainly a sugar junkie. But you know what? I burn the sugar because I walk to the store. And when I'm doing, you know, things out in daily life, there's an elevator and there are stairs, I take the stairs. Having the exercise of daily activity in your life is very important. Yes, you can go to a gym. Yes, you can buy weights that you use in your home. Those are very important things to have and to do and to be. But just increasing your daily movement in small ways, in moderate amounts, is very important to getting you tired. Now, when you get tired, you actually sleep in a more quality state. You have different levels of sleep. It's very important for your body to relax enough to go through all of those different states several times. A good amount of sleep is 8 hours. Well, you know what? Some people think, oh my gosh, I can't do that because what am I not doing? I should be doing this. I could be doing this. So getting their mind just to slow down and stop can be difficult because all they're thinking about is, well, but think about this. That's 16 hours of life that you're still going through. That's over 900 minutes of activity that you have. You can say to yourself, in addition to the work, in addition to the other responsibilities, running errands, you have a lot of time in your day to get things done. Trust that the important things will get done. That is giving you a more relaxed state while you're going through the things in life that you have to do. Because you have slept well, you will have that better quality state of mind and body when you're awake, and you will become more active in the way that you do things. Instead of passing that box that's on the ground in the grocery store, you'll actually pick it up and put it back on the shelf where it belongs. So you've not only done something that's good for your health, it took, what, 10 seconds to do, but you've also made the quality of the store better because you've cleaned it. And then after you put that box on the shelf, just, you didn't have to. You just did it because it was a good thing to do. Someone will walk by you and they'll smile at you. When you smile, your brain releases a chemical, a really good chemical, and that makes your whole body better, more healthy. When you are more biochemically balanced, you do crave that apple. And you do eat less of the sugar or saturated fat or whatever it is, the junk food, the fast food, because if you've had enough of a good quality substance in your daily diet, you don't need those excessive amounts of refined and unhealthy foods. So just starting out with more physical activity, relaxing while you're enjoying that physical activity will improve the quality of your sleep. The improved quality of your sleep will affect the way that you crave foods. The foods that you do eat will be smaller in quantity because they will be higher in quality. That's where you can start. Just walk instead of drive to a location and see how everything affects everything else. Now, another thing about physically, we have been very overstimulated. I mentioned it in the first segment, but really thinking about our lifestyle has become unhealthy because it's based on the premise of do less, have other things do things for you. Remember when we used to remember phone numbers? If I took your cellular phone away, how many phone numbers would you be able to write down on a piece of paper? 30 years ago, you might have actually known that very important person in your life's phone number. Okay? Now, there's nothing wrong with a cellular phone, but the entire premise, the whole concept of let's have this device in our hands, now it's not just to make phone calls. We go online, we listen to music, we watch things. It's like a television. Why do we actually need all of these things to overstimulate us? We don't. When we have objects, different tools that we use to do sometimes challenging tasks, sometimes not even very challenging. One of the things that I've noticed is a skateboard. You know, remember when you have to actually, you used to have to push to thrust it. Now it's motorized. We have a motorized skateboard. That's very, very unhealthy. When we're talking about the different devices, even in the kitchen. Now, it's not a hard thing to cook, but it still did require a certain amount of hand-eye coordination or focus or, you know, energy in order to do the same activity for 5 or 10 minutes. Now we have the device to do it for us. Sometimes all we have to do is hold it. Okay, well, you know what? When we have our inventions and creations that were for the purpose of saving time or work, well, what does that mean? Well, then the time that we've just saved, supposedly, has been replaced. Activities, we do things in that time with less healthy versions of the same activities. We still need to do the things that the objects are now doing for us. We need to use our hand-eye coordination. We need endurance. We need strength. We need flexibility in order to be healthy and happy people. It's just a matter of doing those things for ourselves, for our life, and for the world, including the people around us. If we're not going to be doing those things with this particular device anymore that we're now using in the kitchen or that we're now using in the office, we're still going to need to do those things that the machines and objects are now doing for us in another way, in another time, because doing those activities actually do make us a good quality kind of tired. When we're a good quality tired, we sleep well. When we sleep well, we perform better, and we do crave more healthy foods. But what about relaxing emotionally? That's something very, very different. When I was talking to one of our callers about anxiety, then there's also fear, then there's also anger. Just a couple minutes on each one. Think about this. Ask yourself this question. How much of my inability to relax, really relax, is about anxiety? How much of it is fear? How much of it is anger? Well, anxiety is our body's way of indicating to us that something could go wrong. It's a warning. It's a, okay, I've got a whole lot of different things, different experiences that I've had in this world that's telling me if I don't deal with something or address it, something bad could happen. And so that's very motivational. There are certain chemicals that our body releases and certain thoughts that we start to experience and certain other sensations, right, that we have, that it's our body's way of saying you need to address this and you need to do something about it to prevent something bad from happening. But if we're not really relaxed, we really have to say to ourselves, is this my ability to address what is potentially going to be a problem? Am I qualified right now to address that and resolve it, prevent it successfully? That's another reason why you do need to relax. If you take care of yourself at times when you do not have anxiety, then when the anxiety has manifested itself in your life in some way, you will be able to say, I am healthy and I am centered and I am at peace as a person. I can now deal with the experience of my anxiety in a way that will let me deal with the problem separate from the anxiety in a proactive and healthy way. What about fear? Fear is the concern that something is actually happening. Yes, the problem has manifested itself and you are in a very dangerous situation and something has already started, and it's important that your personal safety and your security really be taken care of. And it's okay, so it's a little bit more powerful than anxiety. There's an actual danger to the safety and survival of you in an emotional or a mental or a physical way. It's a genuine concern that our life is at risk. That's exactly the same process as anxiety. It's just a different kind of motivation. And it's important to be able to say, okay, this isn't a preventative. This is a very proactive dealing with the situation now. Think about your daily life. How many things are you genuinely afraid of in a profound and very primal way that you feel your safety and survival threatened by? It could be a person. It could be a situation. It could be an experience. It could be the memory. If there's something in your life that creates fear inside of you in a repetitive or consistent way, that's the time to take care of it in a professional venue. You do need to see someone. You do need to reach out for help. There are a lot of different ways that you can get help and support. Take care of that now. But my favorite one is anger. A lot of people in this day and age just like to be angry. That's our body's way of saying something has happened. It should not have happened. You need to fix it. You need to deal with it right now. It's a reaction for motivation of an injustice, a failure, an unkindness, something. It's what gives us the fuel to do the work to fix a problem that has been created. It's done. It is a problem now. It wasn't something that could happen. It wasn't something that's in the process of happening. It's something that actually happened. It's very important for you to know that your anger, it's going to release a lot of chemicals. It's going to be very motivational. But if you take care of yourself and you are relaxed and healthy and centered, you will be able to be in that state and still proactive and healthy. Think about yourself in your life. How often are you upset, genuinely angry? What are you genuinely angry about? Know that when you deal with those things, your sleep will be better, your health will be better, your emotions will be better in your daily life. Take care of you to make your relationships better. It's about yours, mine, and ours. Thank you for listening today. I'm Gabrielle Cardona on BBS Radio.
BBS Radio.com